morning.
Yeah.
You are in America Today. It is noon here in Iowa, where I am. I am your host, Todd McGreevy. You've joined us on Common Sense Revisited on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We appreciate you tuning in to us. Today is Saturday, December 18th, 2010. Thank you for tuning in. Today we have a couple of special guests I'm excited to have on the show, Mr. Bob Schultz and Mr. Jeff Dickstein, who I'll be making formal introductions here in a minute for. I'm excited that they're going to be on the show. My producer, Matt, is getting them on. And, you know, the name of this show is Common Sense Revisited, and its namesake is after commonsenserevisited.com. That is the publication that Clyde Cleveland, a fellow Iowan, friend of mine who now lives in Florida, he started this with the invitation of Mr. Stattmiller over a year ago to start this show based on his publication, Common Sense Revisited. It's the modern-day tribute to Thomas Paine's original. I encourage you to check it out at commonsenserevisited.com. You can download MP3s. You can order a CD-ROM of it. You can order the beautifully published color magazine format of Common Sense Revisited. It's an excellent primer for the differences and the history of indigenous power versus surrogate power. And I'm going to read to you a testimonial from another mutual friend of our guest today, Ed Vallejo. He's a political activist down in Arizona. I met Ed at the Continental Congress, actually, last year in St. Charles, Illinois. And he writes, Common Sense Revisited is a wonderful tool for not only waking up the masses that already know these facts, but have allowed their thinking to be done for them while watching TV, but also for educating the great number of people who don't know the basic foundations that underpin our liberties. When this first hit the web, I downloaded it and was printing color copies and handing them out with rave reviews from everyone I got to look at it. Now I'm ready for a bulk order. And of course, Ed always ends his comments with revolution. So there's a testimonial from Mr. Vallejo. Check out commonsenserevisited.com, please. I also have my own personal blog, thirdrailblog.com, where you can go to for show links for this show as well as previous episodes. There's links to contextual links. I try and put links to stuff we're talking about, excerpts from documents we're talking about, and that is no different today. At thirdrailblog.com, I do have links there to both biographies of Mr. Bob Schultz, who's with us on the phone, and Jeff Dickstein, who's on the phone with us today as well. And, gentlemen, can you hear me?
Yeah, this is Jeff. I hear you fine.
Hey, Todd. Hi, Jeff. Yes, I can hear you well.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, Jeff.
Thank you so much for joining me, gentlemen. And by way of quick introduction, Mr. Schultz is the chairman of the We the People Foundation, the tireless fighter for our liberties and our rights. Recently, he's in the midst of the National Clean Election Lawsuit, otherwise known as NCEL, which is in of itself a whole other episode that we could talk about. Mr. Schultz was the organizer of the Continental Congress 2009, among many other things he's done. And if you just search engine Mr. Schultz, you'll find out all kinds of things. At thirdrailblog.com, there's a link to his biography. I met Mr. Dickstein at the Continental Congress that Mr. Schultz organized. Mr. Dickstein was the expert on violations of the tax clauses that addressed all the delegates at Continental Congress and helped inform the remedial instructions that were part of the work product of Continental Congress. And there's a link to the video, actually presentation of Mr. Dickstein on Saturday, November 14th last year at thirdrailblog.com. It'll take you to cc2009.us, which is the Continental Congress archives. And we're going to have a break here, guys. It includes links to many of the work product that Mr. Dickstein was working with back then. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Mr. Jeff Dickstein and Bob Schultz right after the break.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Welcome back, everybody. Tommy Sense Revisited. Appreciate you staying with us, and I have Bob Schultz and Jeff Dickstein with me. And for way of context and backstory here, Jeff, can you share with our listeners, because a lot of them aren't necessarily up to speed on the major efforts you've been up to over these last 10 years and longer, with respect to the Bill Benson case, for instance, the law that never was. Can you give our listeners a quick overview of how that played out?
Well, Bill Benson is the gentleman who took it upon himself to go to the 48 states that were in the Union in 1913. And he went to the National Archives, and he obtained certified copies of all of the documents pertaining to the state's attempted ratification of the 16th Amendment. And we discovered that several states intentionally amended the language proposed by Congress that they're not allowed to do, that the feds knew about that, but nonetheless fraudulently declared it was ratified. And I've been up to... through several district courts, court of appeals, and the Supreme Court twice trying to get the matter heard. And in the meantime, the courts have put two people who are promoting that issue in jail and have pretty much ruined Bill Benson's life. And since then, I've been sentenced to 90 days in jail because of my efforts, and pretty much am now precluded from practicing law.
And I think one of the important nuances I learned from you at Continental Congress last year when you were there as a expert speaker was that forget whether or not the 16th Amendment was ratified or not, that is a dispute of fact that you and your clients were alleging. You argued up to the U.S. Court of Appeals that you're violating our the people's First and Fifth Amendment rights for not even allowing evidence to come into the courtroom. Is that an accurate analysis?
Yeah, Bill Benson had a website in which he was selling his material, And Mark and Claudia Hermer put on seminars in which speakers showed up, including Bill Benson, to make this information available to the public, both of which are protected, supposedly protected by the First Amendment. And then when the government accused those people of making false statements on the issue, we went into court under, you know, due process, which supposedly when the government accuses you of telling something that's false, you have the right to put on evidence that what you're saying is true. And the evidence was precluded from coming into the record. So violation of the First Amendment, and then violation of the right to fair trial, right to due process, right to an impartial hearing, right to present evidence in your defense, in violation of the Fifth Amendment.
And Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, but much of this research that Bill did, I think you were aware of it at the time, and that you were asking some similar hard questions, and your questions of the Internal Revenue Service and the Treasury and the executive branch back in the early 2000s is what actually inspired the part of what inspired the film Freedom to Fascism.
Yeah, we had been petitioning the government, every member of Congress, the president, attorney general, to answer some questions having to do with the ratification of the 16th Amendment, as well as the questioning whether the enforcement and operation of the Internal Revenue Code was violative of the tax provisions of the Constitution. In other words, the Internal Revenue Code seemed to be okay, but the way it was being enforced and operated seemed to be in violation of the principal requirement that prohibits, constitutional requirement that prohibits a direct unapportioned tax on labor. So, but in any event, none of these questions were answered, and we tried many ways to have them answered, and the government just refused to answer them.
And that was those efforts to get those questions answered was part of what was featured in the first half of the film Freedom to Fascism, which when folks donate to this network, republicbroadcasting.org, that's part of the giveaway, is that they get a copy of Freedom to Fascism, which is a movie that has woken a lot of people up. And that's where I first heard about you, Bob. And I just want to put that in some context for people. And the reason I bring all this up for our listeners is because what we're here to talk today about is this little-known but kind of hidden development that happened in 2006 and 2007 that really, I'm thankful that you guys are here to correct me where I'm wrong, but really kind of criminalizes even asserting yourself with the IRS in numerous ways. They've taken it almost codified. They can kind of skip any more Bill Bensons in the world, because now they've just said, if you bring these arguments up, you're going to be fined $5,000 or $25,000.
Well, if you bring the arguments up as part of your ground for retaining your money until your grievances are redressed, then you can be fined, and worse, I suppose. I'm not sure if Jeff, we came across this and wrote about it in our most recent website update, where we detailed what had happened, what the three branches of the government did in collusion. And I'm not sure, Jeff, were you aware of this before we posted it?
No, I learned about it through your efforts, Bob.
It's remarkable. the First Amendment guarantees, Todd, as you know, five rights. The right to freedom of worship, speech, press, assembly, and the right to petition the government for a remedy or grievances, particularly, of course, violations of the Constitution. And no court had ever declared what the last 10 words of the First Amendment meant. Obviously, the first four rights guaranteed by the First Amendment have been the subject matter of lots of lawsuits that have gone to the Supreme Court. So the people pretty much know what their rights are, what the government's obligations are under those first four freedoms: worship, speech, press, and assembly. But not so the last. And so, as you mentioned, the movie, the Aaron Russo film, Freedom to Fascism, it opens up with a large group of people marching down in Washington from the National Press Club down to the federal courthouse, where we filed a what's called a declaratory judgment action with the federal court. We decided to test the attitude of the judiciary. What does it mean to petition the government for redress of grievances? We wanted to know the answers to two questions. First, is the government obligated to respond to these petitions for redress of violations of the Constitution that we had served, having to do with violations of the not only the tax clauses, but the war powers clauses and the money clauses and the privacy clauses? We had petitioned the government before we went to court on the government's Iraq resolution, you know, invading Iraq without a declaration of war, the Federal Reserve System and its violation of the money clauses, the direct unapportioned tax on labor, the so-called income tax, and the Patriot Act, which we felt violated, had provisions in it that violated the so-called privacy clauses. And we hadn't gotten any answer. And so we went to the court asking them to answer the question, is government obligated under the First Amendment to respond to these petitions, these formal petitions for redress? And if they don't, do the people not then have the right to retain their money until these grievances are remedied? A pretty important question, we felt, because obviously if the government, you know, was violating the Constitution, War Powers Clause, Money Clause, whatever, and then we claim and exercise, the people claim and exercise their right to hold the government accountable by petitioning First Amendment right, and they don't respond, then you've got a government that isn't recognizable anymore. I mean, who are they? Who are they listening to? And so we went to court. And what's most interesting is we filed that case in 2004 in July. It took the district court an inordinate amount of time to finally issue its decision. And then we went to the United States Court of Appeals in Washington, and we orally argued the case on October 16th, 2006. Now, both Jeff and I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I've got a lot of experience in appellate courts, both state and federal. And my experience, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, but my experience, when you argue a case, when you have oral argument before a United States Court of Appeals, typically that court will issue its decision for maybe 6 weeks or so after oral argument. Oral argument means all the briefs have been submitted, the law clerks have done their work, they've assembled a bunch of questions for the judges to ask from the bench, you have oral argument, and there's nothing left except to issue its decision. In our case, the court did not issue its decision for 7 months.
7 months rather than a couple months, Bob. That's extensive. We've got to take a quick break here. Please support the advertisers you hear on RBN. Stay with us.
Help, I've fallen and I can't. Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard? Proactiv is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With new Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try new Proactiv risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactiv, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
Welcome back to Common Sense Revisited. We've been visiting with Mr. Bob Schultz and Mr. Jeff Dickstein, two tireless fighters for truth and transparency in our court systems, especially with regards to the truth regarding the Internal Revenue Service and the tax codes. Bob, you were explaining that the We the People Foundation and yourself filed a declaratory judgment, a movement for declaratory judgment. Is that correct?
Your rights are and what the government's obligations are under a provision of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had done that, obviously, because for years we had been repeatedly petitioning and not just us. I mean, people all over America had been asking their congressmen and the IRS to answer some tough questions, to show them the law and so forth, asking questions about the ratification of the 16th Amendment and getting no answers. And so people were beginning to act on their beliefs. And, of course, then they would hear from, you know, the IRS. One by one, they were suffering. And the government was turning lives upside down, causing suicides and divorces, and it was horrible to watch. So we said, well, you know, we'll just ask the government, claiming and exercising our right to do so, to hold the government accountable under the First Amendment. We know what it's there for. We know what its intent is. Its intent is when you have some evidence that the government is violating the Constitution, you can call them on the carpet. They're a servant government. First Amendment means you can hold them accountable peacefully. And
what was the response after 7 months, Bob?
Well, in the court, we didn't think anything of it other than, geez, it's taking a long time to get an answer. I guess they're taking it seriously, you know, I'm the eternal optimist. They must be taking it seriously. We're going to prevail here. This is not an easy decision for them. To be able to hold the government accountable, not an easy decision. It's going to, you know, result in a, if we're correct here, then it's going to result in a tremendous shift of power from the government back to the people where it was meant to reside in the first place. And then we found out, well, they issued their decision finally in May 8th of 2007, and said the government doesn't have to listen or respond, and therefore you don't have the right to retain your money until they do. A terrible decision, but and it was an abuse of this stare decisis doctrine. They relied on two irrelevant cases. And but to the point, more to the point of your question, Todd, we only recently learned what was happening during those 7 months.
The timing is amazing. Go on, Bob.
Yeah, between October 16th, when we heard oral argument, and May 8th, 2007, this is what was happening. The three branches got together to take away, remove our right to hold the government accountable, to remove this First Amendment right to petition for redress of grievances. Here's how they did it. And these are, in my opinion, these are the darkest days in American history. What happened between October 16th and May 8th of 2007. First, Congress acted late in the or in December, in a matter of days. A California congresswoman who was a member of the House Ways and Means Committee inserted a provision in a bill. The bill was titled the Tax Relief and Health Care Act of 2006. It's a very large bill, lots and lots of provisions. And obviously the primary purpose of the bill was to extend tax credits, hundreds of them, that had expired a year earlier in December of 2005, and to retroactively extend them for 2 years to December 2007. Tax Relief and Health Care Act. In the health reform part of the bill, there was this provision. It's titled, and anyone can Google, Tax Relief and Health Care Act of 2006, and they will get an, this bill. And if they go to Article 3, Section 407, they'll see that a provision was inserted. It has nothing to do with tax relief, but it has everything to do with taxes. It's a short provision which authorizes the Treasury Department to prescribe a list of, quote, specified frivolous positions and to update that list anytime the Treasury Department wanted to, and to fine anybody $5,000 who uses one of those positions, one of those frivolous, so-called frivolous positions, as their ground for retaining their money from the government. That was passed, introduced and passed in a matter of days in December of 2006. On March 15th of 2007, the Treasury Department issued Notice 2007-30. Anybody can Google IRS Notice 2007-30, and we'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
We're at the bottom of the half of the hour. You can go to thirdrailblog.com, and I have the links to everything Bob is talking about. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How is it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
At the bottom half of the hour, and just for everybody's own context and resources, if you go to thirdrailblog.com, you'll see today's show links, notes about what we're talking about today. It includes a link to Bob Schultz's We the People Foundation update that he put on the foundation's website that outlined everything he's talking about here today. I also have a link to the full Tax Relief and Health Care Act of 2006, and I have Section 407 excerpted here that refers to what Bob is talking about, and also the list of frivolous arguments linked and displayed there as well. So hopefully that's a quick primer for everybody about this hidden travesty that happened. I call it the assassination of the First Amendment. Bob has called it the darkest day in the darkest days in America. So Bob, continue, please.
So Treasury published their list of 40 frivolous positions on March 15, 2007. On the list, as we've mentioned, is the right to petition, but also every principal argument that we had included in our petitions for redress of grievances that we had filed repeatedly, raising all of the questions about the ratification. One of the petitions for redress of grievances had 119 questions that we wanted answered having to do with the ratification of the 16th Amendment. And but, of course, none of those questions had ever been answered. But now they were being answered. If anyone uses the direct unapportioned tax on labor, the ratification of the 16th Amendment, any of these principal issues, liability, it's frivolous, and they'll be fined $5,000 for raising them in any IRS forum. That was done on March 15th, and then on May 8th, the court issued its decision in the We the People versus the United States case, where some 1,450 individual plaintiffs from around the country, from all 50 states, had filed this case asking the court to declare what those last 10 words of the First Amendment mean. And in its decision, as I mentioned, they said government does not have to listen or respond, and therefore people don't have the right to retain their money until they do. Let me spend a moment on that decision. The Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, in effect, said, look, our hands are tied. It's a three-judge panel, said our hands are tied. This United States Supreme Court twice has said that the government does not have to listen or respond to petitions for redress of grievances. And therefore, we're bound by those that principle of law that was laid down in those two earlier cases. We're bound by that principle, and we have to apply it here. So the government doesn't have to listen or respond. What were those two cases? The first case came out of Arkansas. The second case came out of Minnesota. The first case was decided by the Supreme Court in 1979, and the Minnesota case 5 years later in 1984. The facts of those cases were that the legislature of each state had passed a law dealing with petitions from public employees having to do with on-the-job related, employment-related grievances. In the Arkansas case, the legislature said individual employees must submit their grievances directly to their public employer. They can't go through any kind of a union or association. And in Minnesota, it was quite the opposite. There, the law, state law said public employees must submit their grievances through their union. Both cases, well, in the Arkansas case, you had some state highway workers that formed an association, and it was the Association of State Highway Workers that submitted their on-the-job-related, employment-related grievances. And the state said, we don't have to listen to you. Submit them individually. We'll respond. That case went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, in this context, the government does not have to listen or respond to petitions for redress of grievances. In the second case, Minnesota, you had six college professors working for community colleges that did not want to submit their grievances through their union. They wanted to submit them directly. They called it free speech. The state said, no, we don't have to listen to you. And that case went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court sided with the state of Minnesota. It's true that judges, courts, are bound by case law. You know, we need some predictability in our society, so the stare decisis doctrine is a pretty good doctrine. You know, if the Supreme Court lays down a principle of law in an early case, and you come along later in time, and the facts of your case are somewhat similar, but the law that you're arguing is the same law that was argued in the earlier cases, then the principle of law laid down in the earlier case applies to you. Well, here, you know, our case, the facts of our case were nowhere similar to the facts of the earlier case, the earlier two cases. We're not public employees. These were not on-the-job related, employment-related grievances. We're citizens of the United States of America, and we were challenging actions by the government in violation of the Constitution's tax clauses, war powers clauses, privacy and money clauses. So the facts were nowhere similar. But the law we were arguing was the meaning of those last 10 words of the First Amendment, an argument that was not before the courts in the earlier cases. Don't take my word for that. Look at the decision in our case. Judge Rogers wrote a separate opinion, and in which she said she had read the briefs in the earlier cases, and the argument that we were right to petition, the meaning of it, was not an argument that was before the courts in the earlier cases. What's interesting is not only was that a dissent, which she clearly dissented. She said, you know, the majority is wrong here. There's a legal argument before this court in our case that was not before the courts in the Arkansas and Minnesota cases. So that should have been the end of any, you know, stare decisis doctrine, the application of it. But what she did which shows the extent of the corruption here and the collusion, she filed her dissent as a concurring opinion, meaning the Supreme Court was looking at a unanimous decision on its surface, making it all the more difficult for the Supreme Court, making it easier for them not to hear the case. So we have all three branches, the Congress, the Tax Relief and Health Care Act, and the Treasury in its list of specified frivolous positions, directing a verdict by the court, the court going along with it. This is outrageous. This means that whatever the government does, whether it violates any provision of the Constitution, remember, these rights, these are individual rights. That's what separates and what makes America so great. Our rights do not depend upon the will of any majority, one more than half the number of people voting in Congress or any other majority. These are individual rights endowed by the Creator. We have an individual right to a government that does not violate the tax clauses, the war powers clauses, mm-hmm. money clauses, privacy clause, property clause, any provision of the Constitution. Individual rights. And under the First Amendment, if we have some evidence that the government is violating those rights, we can call them on it. We have a right to hold them accountable, and they're obligated to respond. And if they don't, we then have the right to retain our money until they do. But look what's happened here. Now, if anybody, challenges the government's behavior and the government, through a formal petition for redress of grievances, and the government refuses to respond, and then you act on your belief, and you retain your money
right.
until your grievances are redressed, you're fined. And if you don't pay the fine, you lose your assets, you go to jail, whatever. It's outrageous.
It is outrageous. And the list of frivolous arguments includes 9B says a taxpayer may withhold payment of taxes or the filing of a tax return until the service or other government entity responds to a First Amendment petition for redress of grievances. Mm-hmm. Right there, I think they're addressing your efforts, Bob. Later, I think they address Jeff's efforts and Mr. Benson's efforts. It's Section I. It says the 16th Amendment was not ratified, has no effect, contradicts the Constitution as originally ratified, lacks an enabling clause, or does not authorize a non-apportioned direct income tax. Jeff, what were your thoughts when you saw this, when you first saw this frivolous list?
Well, I've been doing this work for 34 years, and I came to the conclusion some time ago that our government's been overthrown. We have no constitution. We have no rights. And this, in the last 5 or 6 years, it's just been confirmed by the action of all three branches of government. If you put on a seminar in which you peacefully assemble and discuss these issues, that has now become a conspiracy to defraud the United States, and the money you receive from that is now money laundering. If you have a website where you put information regarding an issue affecting everyone, if that becomes an abusive tax shelter, to where you're fined out of existence, and then when you put the attorneys who defend these people, supposedly under the Constitution, when you put them in jail and disbar them, it's just conclusive proof that anybody who believes that we have any rights or that we have a Constitution is just deceiving themselves. There's no such thing. We have no rights. We have no Constitution. We don't have a government that's accountable to the people. And anybody who doesn't go along with the agenda will either be put in jail or fined.
Mm-hmm. Look at this big picture here. Congress is supposed to make the law, yes? But the executive branch to administer the law. Here you have Congress saying to the Treasury Department, you make the law. You decide what's frivolous. There's no definition of frivolous in the Tax Relief and Health Care Act, nor is there any definition of frivolous in the Treasury, the IRS Notice 2007-30, which lays out these frivolous positions. So they're going to fine people without any standard. you know, where we have not authorized Congress to transfer its lawmaking power to the executive branch, which they've done here. And where's our due process rights? What make it's frivolous, in other words, because they say so.
Mm-hmm.
The definition of frivolous today, although it's not written anywhere, is any question that the government can't answer in accordance with the laws as written on the books. What used to be frivolous was it applied to lawyers who filed legal briefs and raised arguments that weren't supported by what's known as points and authorities. Points and authorities is prior case law, statutes, regulations, legal treatises. Whenever you file a motion in court, you're supposed to submit a memorandum of points and authorities. And if you file something that's not supported in law, in other words, you just want to make something up, lawyers were fined for filing a frivolous argument. But frivolous today means that the government is unable to respond. I mean, look, let's take the 16th Amendment issue. I've got certified documents, which the Federal Rules of Evidence says are admissible as a matter of law. The court must take judicial notice of those certified documents. The government argued that those documents were irrelevant, and the judge agreed and kept them out. Courts are closed.
I mean, that's just, it's irrelevant. I just, it blows my mind. That's such a subjective statement that, I mean, they didn't want the jury to hear your evidence, is what it
means. Yeah, Todd, you're a liar because we say so, and your evidence proving that you're not a liar is irrelevant. Let's just put it in perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, gentlemen, this is, I have to agree with Bob when he first told me about this months ago. This is a dark day. It is evidence of collusion between all three branches. And when you add up the timeline, you know, right before they responded with this very, very shaky, fraudulent, stare decisis decision that, you know, claiming these two incongruous examples in Arkansas and Minnesota that the government doesn't have to respond to petitions, and then include and had already included it in this list of frivolous arguments as just a, you know, if you bring this argument up, then you just get fined. It is the assassination of the First Amendment. It is dead. The First Amendment's dead. They've killed it with these acts, in my opinion. The tough part now for all of us is what are the next steps for free people? You know, this show, anybody who's listened to me for a long time has, you know, over a year now, I try and get, you know, solutions on the table. And thanks to both of you and your efforts last year at Continental Congress, we had some efforts that were solution-oriented. They were remedial instructions to our federal and state legislators called the Articles of Freedom. And there's a whole section about what to do regarding the violation of tax clauses. They're not following those.
Well, let me put this in my perspective, and I'm probably a little more aggressive than Bob. Those articles were a lot like the Jews getting together and telling Hitler what he was doing to them was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You don't go to the foxes when you're a chicken and tell them that they can't have chicken for dinner.
No, but Jeff, that may be true, but clearly the people are meant to have the ultimate power in our society. We are the final arbiters of the Constitution. And whatever action the people eventually take over everything that has been happening to them and the dismantling of the Constitution and their rights, whatever action the people take, I believe strongly that that action has to be justified. There has to be a record. You have to, and what I'm process-oriented. So we spent these years building a record, filing petitions for redress of grievances, First Amendment formal legal documents that cite a provision of the Constitution, lay out a factual account of the violation of that provision, and seeking a remedy. And in every case, the remedy we were seeking, you know, was merely, simply, the answer to tough questions. Each question, you know, we saw these petitions for redress of grievances as depositions. And each a question, you know, as a statement of fact that we could support with documentary evidence, the statement preceded by the words admit or deny. So we were asking the government to admit or deny this fact, and so forth. And no response to any of those petitions for redress of grievances. When we went to court, the courts dismissed the constitutional challenges on the basis of no standing. Your harm is no different than the harm of everybody else in the country. So in other words, take it up with Congress, okay, as though this were a democracy, a pure democracy, and our rights were guaranteed by some majority in the halls of Congress rather than by the words of the Constitution itself. And so we petitioned for redress of grievances, no response.
That's a big part of
the appropriate next step was to get together and prepare instructions. Don't forget, you know, when the founders were... I'm sorry?
We've got to take a break, Bob. Hold on.
What really gets...
Attention RBN listeners, the freeze-dry guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Common Sense Revisited, everybody, and time will be short here. We only have about 4.5 minutes, and to summarize, you know, Jeff, I do agree with you to a large extent that it's a little bit like asking the fox to watch the hen house, you don't go and you seek remedy from the very people that are violating us. But at the same time, I have to concur with Bob, and that's why I was involved with Continental Congress, and I know you were too. And that is that we do have to set the record. We have to go through the motions. We have to check the box. You know, the record that We the People Foundation and Continental Congress set is strong. It is thorough. It is reasoned, and it's measured, and it's there. It's there for the people, for the ages. But now the question becomes, you know, have we exhausted our administrative and constitutional pathways for peaceful remedy? I mean, and I think the evidence of this 2006 Healthcare and Tax Relief Act with this frivolous argument, I think it proves we're kind of at an impasse, are we not?
I think we're at the same point that our founding fathers were after they did their Declaration of Independence and they tried everything peacefully, and you certainly have to take hats off to Bob for the tireless work he did and his documentation, but the evidence is now clear.
It's more clear than ever.
And so the question becomes what to do. Maybe on another talk show I can tell you what my suggestions are. But, you know, I've mapped out a strategy, but the bottom line is you have to get enough people who care in order to implement any of them.
Individuals and small groups cannot prevail, even though the Constitution is on their side.
There is no Constitution, Bob.
No, it's there. I can read it. I've got a copy of it. I'm looking at it.
It's meaningless. It's just a myth if you think it holds.
But it's the people's fault. We've allowed it to happen, Jeff.
I'm not saying we haven't, but the bottom line is the only point of a written constitution and laws is that government will obey it. When government stops, it might as well not exist.
So the question is, what do we then, who have the ultimate power, what do we do? Individuals and small groups, as I say, cannot prevail. Gandhi's instruction was, I think, the right one. When you're up against unjust and uncivil government and laws and you're entitled to reform as we are, he said, and I believe him, you'll get it only if you follow a three-part formula. Missing any one of the three parts, you'll fail. He said you have to be proactive, nonviolent, but you need a mass movement, a critical mass, and that's our challenge. And that requires organization. And so the question is, you know, you've got these Tea Party Patriot groups and Oath Keepers and, you know, Restore the Republic. You've got all of these organizations that all seem to want the same thing, which is a return to constitutional governance carried out in decency and good order. But our efforts are going off in all these different directions. Unless we channel our energy, each of us has just so much energy. If we don't challenge our energy, we're never going to develop the thrust we need to restore constitutional governance in America.
We're almost out of time. Just let me say, with respect to Gandhi's analysis, as our founding fathers had a different perspective.
What do you mean by that statement, Jeff? I didn't quite follow.
Well, they certainly were violent, weren't they?
No, but they met 2 years before they signed the Declaration of Independence. They met at the Continental Congress, and what they decided to do, because they had been petitioning, all of a sudden, you know, they're petitioning for redress of grievances had gone on, you know, in the old world and in the new world since the year 1215. But beginning with the end of the French and Indian War here, when England was left with large standing armies and had the frontier, you know, the Indian problem to worry about, they started to treat the people here differently than they were treating their own people back in Great Britain. In other words, they were violating the fundamental rights of people here in the colonies.
And
their petitions for redress of grievances had been ignored for 11 years.
I'm going to have you both back in January, Bob. I'm going to have you both back in January discussing solutions. I really appreciate you joining us today. It's been very helpful to help establish the record, get this important information out. Stay tuned for Michael McKay, Radio Free Market. He has his guest, an interview with Eric Margolis, The Real Middle East Crisis, Who is the Threat and Who Should Be Trusted. That's coming up at 1 o'clock. Thank you for listening.
Gold, ever climbing. Gold.